If you all stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures, I'll read to you Numbers chapter 20, verses 17 through 20, where it says, "Let us," referring to Israel, "pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders." And Edom said unto him, "Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword." And the children of Israel said unto him, referring to Edom, "We will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet." And he, referring to Edom, said, "Thou shalt not go through." And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. You may be seated. This sermon you may not agree with. It's quite all right. Our job is to present what we think is happening in the world today, and I'll present it. The above scripture teaches that a certain nation, Edom, prevented the nation of Israel from passing through their territory in a peaceful way, even after they had promised to pay for the water that their cattle and they would drink out of their streams. Seems like there was some hatred between these two groups of people. As a result, Israel started on their last phase of their journey to Canaan, going around both Edom and Moab to come into the promised land from the east of the Jordan River. This is the fourth part of the series, Evil Good and Good Evil. The series explains that there are many of our Lord God's laws that he has given to us that are not in either the Republican or the Democratic Party's platform. The Democratic National Convention gives away the clue that they are demonic. What else could this odd-looking star mean other than? Now, let's leave it there for a second. The Democratic National Convention, I think most of you saw it. There's a raised fist. Republicans and Democrats believe the opposite on what is quote-unquote light. I believe they are both wrong on their definitions. But the Republicans are a lot better than the Democrats, for they are against the murder of the unborn, are for school choice, are for less regulation in businesses, are for reduced taxes, are for secure borders, are for the funding of the police, are for fracking and energy independence, are for public control against the burning, looting, and murder in the communities, are for public worship in churches, are for the suburbs remaining the same as opposed to the larger cities that are near them taking and destroying the suburbs, no more single housing, are for the returning American jobs that have gone overseas, are for fair agreements to put America first, are against the unfair media coverage, and so forth. The capitalist integrationist Republicans are more correct than the very hardcore communist Democrats, but they both do not know what made America great and what would make America great again. The Democrats are demonically inspired, They are threatening senators and their wives with physical harm, even death. Who are these burners, looters, and murderers? And who is paying them to come to the locations that are in an uproar from other places? Men like the Jew Norm Eisen, the Jew George Soros, and the woman like the Jew Susan Rosenberg, and many financial contributors. Susan was paroled by President Bill Clinton the last day he was in office as President of the United States. She was only a cop killer and an insurrectionist. They also are worshipers of strange god or gods. Most are billionaires, have financed the attempt to make America an outright communist nation. The Republicans are a better choice to experience victory than the Democrats, but they aren't the best choice. But at least they're advocating a couple of God's laws being reinstated. The best choice would be a party that advocates the keeping of all God's holy laws. But that choice is not available to us now. Part one of this series dealt with the sodomy question. Both parties are afraid of losing the LGBTQ plus vote, and they have homosexual groups in major roles in their parties. The Democrats have the most. In fact, BLM was started by three queers. They have mayors, presidential candidates, senators, governors, and so forth who belong to this perverted group. The Republicans have a few, but they have them, and they won't speak out against them. Part two dealt with the segregation question. America used to be a mostly segregationist nation. America has gradually changed. It used to be that only white men could vote, that is, white men who owned property. They were the taxpayers, so only they had a right to vote on how their money was spent. Well, that's changed a lot. There were white and colored businesses, white and colored schools, white and colored churches, white and colored sports teams. There were even white and colored drinking fountains. There were the Jim Crow laws that each party now dismisses without a thought. They just say that these laws were harmful and embrace the civil rights advocates like Michael King Jr. That's Martin Luther King, by the way. John Lewis and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Part three, which is what I preach at the conference, dealt with the usury banks that neither party will discuss. They accept all usury loans to their citizens without question, even though it is against our Lord God's law that no usury is to be charged to any Israelite in their Israelite countries by a fellow Israelite. That is why the Jews are given the job. It is an important law since the failure to obey it constitutes the death penalty and the borrower becomes a slave to the lender. This omission of God's one law has caused all major wars that have occurred in the last couple of centuries. What a great relief it would be to the citizens of the United States if the usury bank would be eliminated from the land of the United States. It would cause an economic revival of unprecedented status. I have heard no one speak of the usury bank in any party. Well, that's three: sodomy, segregation, and usury banks. Today's sermon is about the fourth issue that neither party, Republican nor Democratic, will say anything about. Both national party political parties are controlled by Antichrist. Antichrist are descendants of individuals who murdered our Savior and our kinsman Redeemer. The Democratic program is straight from the manifesto of the Communist Playbook, written by Antichrist. while the Republican Party is surrounded by Kenite, Canaanite, Edomite, and Khazarian Turk descendants. The death of the Supreme Court judge, who just recently died. 87-year-old Ruth Bader Ginsburg of the Supreme Court. Both parties sang her praises as being the wonderful leader of, a wonderful leader of what? The murdering of the unborn? Is that Christian? No. The feminist movement? Is that Christian? No. The emergence of the LGBTQ plus community, is that Christian? No. The approval of same-sex marriages, is that Christian? No. The granting of civil rights to all other races, is that Christian? No. Free insurance to all, including illegal aliens, is that Christian? No. And on we could go. Ruth Bader Ginsburg voted in favor of all these anti-Christian policies. But the graduate of Columbia University, where the Frankfurt School went after leading Germany before World War II, law school, was not a Christian. She was Jewish. Are any of these many policy changes in accord with our Lord's laws? Or are they the opposite of what he instructed us to do? Are all these laws of what the Canaanites, modern-day Jews, practiced? Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22 says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked." How dark has this world become when many, even conservatives, are praising a wicked individual such as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a person who spent her entire life being against the laws of Almighty God. But you can't blame her, for the laws were never given to her people. She was just being true to her God, who holds the opposite morals of our Lord God. First, let's look at a conservative, Christopher J. Scalia, son of the former conservative Supreme Court member, said this in his email post, I quote, "I'm very sad to hear about the passing of my parents' good friend and my father's wonderful colleague, Justice Ginsburg. May her memory be a blessing," unquote. One of the Supreme Court judges, who was a conservative, was a friend of the most liberal, evil judge on the court, that is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Scalia and Ginsburg weren't the best of friends, but they were cordial to each other. A Roman Catholic, and a Jew. In fact, the whole Supreme Court of the United States has been Roman Catholic and Jews for a long time, and still is. America was begun partly because of the escape of our people from the oppression of both the Catholics and Jews. In the beginning of our nation, both groups were forbidden and then later greatly looked down upon as being potential enemies of the structure of the nation. Now they are not. What happened to our original Protestant nation? Seems to me it's gone. There is no Protestant out of a country of 340 million that is qualified to be a member of the Supreme Court? And second, a newspaper article written by a liberal antichrist on the death of the Supreme Court judge. and the Saturday, September 26, 2020, Communist Cincinnati Inquirer was the story on their opinion page written by a civil rights attorney, Jennifer Branch. Jennifer L. Branch, who is a partner in the Gerhardstein and Branch, the firm that won the landmark Obelfeld versus Hodges case, which held that the 14th Amendment requires states to license and recognize same-sex marriages. The Obelfeld decision of 2015 legalized sodomy marriages in the nation. Another nail in the coffin of the culture war that was lost in the 1960s. Remember lawyer Gertenstein in my past sermons? Jennifer is his partner, and she is, of course, Jewish. The headline for her article was, quote, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a role model and inspiration, unquote. Jennifer Branch writes, quote, she, referring to Ginsburg, was a role model for me. Other women attorneys, other civil rights lawyers, law professors, public defenders, appellate lawyers, family lawyers, young activists, protesters, all of us who work together to repair the world, unquote. My comment was, she is saying that she, who is an antichrist, along with her role model, RBG, another antichrist, we're working together to fix the world's wrongs. Ginsburg was the first woman and Jewish individual to lie in state at the United States Capitol on Friday, September 25th. She supported and approved the LGBTQ plus community, abortion, race equality, and a host of other things that our Lord God hates. Ruth was denied the usual Jewish burial by not being buried in one day, but instead was paraded to several locations for her public to look at her dead body. I got a question. Where do you think she is now? Jennifer ends her article by saying, quote, this is very interesting what she says. RBG died September 18th, reportedly before sunset, moments before the Jewish New Year and Sabbath begun. See, Jewish New Year's in the fall. Our New Year's in the spring. Judeo-Christian's New Year's in December. In some Jewish teachings, that means God waited until the bitter end of the year for her to die because she was righteous and was so needed this past year. She was a moral, honest, virtuous, principled woman. May she inspire us all to work together to continue her legacy, unquote. I had to say a few comments about that little paragraph. Was Ruth Bader Ginsburg a good judge? Was she moral, honest, virtuous, and principled? If Joe Biden is, I guess she is. Is her legacy in line with what our Lord God wants? Should any Christian continue her, RBG's, legacy? Absolutely no. I heard only one, there could have been a few more, say that Ginsburg was a terrible judge because of all the leftist liberal positions that she defended, unquote. Proverbs 17, verse 15 says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. So if you justify the wicked, or if you condemn the righteous, you're both an abomination. Think about that for a second. This verse says that those who justify the wicked, that is, those who justify RBG, who was very wicked, are an abomination to the Lord. President Trump justified her actions, even though he was against her rulings of the Supreme Court. He was tolerant of them. The Democrats greeted her death with glowing remarks. It's an abomination to the Lord. Psalm 5:5. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. Many conservatives are afraid of doing nothing more than boasting of the very evil Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and other news anchors are giving her a much rosier picture than what she deserves. The verse tells us that, quote, they, that's those who boasted of RBG, should not stand before our eyes because we hate all evildoers, unquote. And she was one of the most wicked evildoers in the nation. Well, I got that off my chest. Why wouldn't the righteous people rejoice over her death? I did. As she was an instrument for intense evil. And now that she is gone, there is hope that someone who is better and less evil will take her place. Amy Barrett, who was nominated by President Trump and was voted in by the Senate on October 26th of this year, is another Roman Catholic who is a promoter of forced vaccination, indefinite lockdown, has adopted two black Haitian children in her family, and is a woman. She is the fifth woman who was or is on the Supreme Court. In fact, the nine members of the Supreme Court have no Protestant members. It is six Roman Catholics and three Jews. Why is there no Protestants in the former Protestant United States? When the nation was founded, there were many who would deny either one of these two groups of oppressive rulers to come here. And now the third branch of our government is made up of two formerly hated groups. I put a little parenthesis to remind you, my grandmother refused to marry anyone in the Roman Catholic Church. Her suitor, who was my grandfather, left the Catholic Church and was forever ostracized by his family, unquote. Richardson Road is named after that family. He was a Richardson. Remember, Ruth Ginsburg was a Jew. What does that mean? She didn't even believe in Jesus the Christ. She didn't believe that he was God manifested in the flesh. She didn't believe that he was resurrected from the dead. She hated him and everything that he stood for. And she hated all his people that he died for. Ruth shouldn't have been living here in America if we followed our Lord's laws, let alone serving on the highest court of the land. Who nominated her? Oh, it was President Bill Clinton, friend of the infamous Jew Jeffrey Epstein, another very evil person. Justice Ginsburg said in one of her written essays, this is very important. Here's what she said, quote, there can be a happy world and there will be once again. There can be a happy world. So the world's not happy now. There can be a happy world and there will be once again when men create a strong bond towards one another, a bond unbreakable by a steady prejudice or a passing circumstance. Then and only then shall we have a world built on the foundation of the fatherhood of God, and whose structure is the brotherhood of man, unquote. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. What is the foundation and structure that this hater of Jesus the Christ says? It's the almost universal belief that is now shared by almost all churches, synagogues, mosques, temples, etc. in the world. This belief says that every individual of the entire planet has a common descendant. That is, that all come from the same two parents. All are God's children. And all are each other's brother. In other words, there are not two seed lines who hate each other. And that hatred was put there by our God Almighty. There are not two seed lines who have been fighting each other for over 6,000 years. And there are not two seed lines who have different fathers. The Jewish people are a different set of mongrels, different from anyone else in the world. Their father is the devil, and they are mongrels of different kinds. Cain, Canaan, Edom, Shelah, Black, Oriental, Sephardic, Hasidic, Ashkenazi, Reformed, Conservative, Orthodox, etc. They had been driven from most countries, cities, towns in Europe at least once. Why? Because they are the enemy of Jesus the Christ and his followers, and they have as their father the devil. This is one reason they were forbidden to come to the new land of America. The Roman Catholics were also forbidden to come, but they did. America's Christianity had to change to believe that they didn't, something they didn't used to believe. What was that? It all changed around the 1800s. See, 1800s is where we really began to go downhill. Harvard College, now Harvard University, had a Unitarian theology, which taught the idea that God loves every person who is living on the earth equally. During this period, from around 1800 to 1850, there was a movement called the Age of Reason, with many of the same ideas of today's New Age movement. It was during this time that the absolutes of the Bible were not considered relevant anymore. Men such as Thomas Paine, Ralph Waldo Emerson, and Henry David Thoreau abandoned their Christianity and opted for these intellectually stimulating philosophies, of which the simple theme was the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Across America, fraternal lodges and orders were set up, but soon became the religion of the leaders and then that of the people. Into that era in Europe came the descendant of a host of rabbis, Karl Marx, and the evolutionist Charles Darwin, inserting their anti-scriptural ideas into America's theological mainstream. These ideas, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, became the accepted norm for the educated and sophisticated people. It was the socialist scheme of the French Revolution shortly after the American Revolution. These ideas had to be transformed into the theology of the Christian population before the greater conspiracy of a world social government could be implemented. Do you think that they have succeeded? These two false ideas refute Christ's words concerning Cain, Canaanite, Esau, Edom, Jewry, that they were of their father, the devil. The theology had to be changed so that God is the father of all men and all peoples, and that Satan is not the father of any of them. The second part of these two ideas, that all men are brothers, which is intended to refute the scriptural teaching and truth, that all men are not brothers, and that God has a chosen people above all the people of the earth. It refutes the theology of God that there are two seeds that have had enmity against one another for over 6,000 years. It teaches that all men are worthy of respect and should be honored even though they hate our Lord and God. These two ideas are the basis of communism. If we survive the deadly decadence in which we are drowning, then we must stop tolerating and justifying evil and its doctrines. We must repent of our sinful, arrogant attitude and embrace God's law. Now I'll bring up an interesting scripture. Matthew 16:12, it says, "Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Who were the Pharisees and Sadducees? What were the doctrines that they believed? Should we beware of their doctrines today? What should we do when the line between the two longtime enemies is disappearing? Our race is being mongrelized out of existence. We are losing the war. We are losing our inheritance. We have forgotten the covenant that the Lord God made with our fathers. We have forgotten the, quote, blood of the everlasting covenant, unquote, that has put away the sins of his people. What can we do? Well, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land," unquote. When was this verse given in history? Who was it given to? Who is the my and I in this verse? Well, let's just back up two verses, 2 Chronicles 7:12. "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." King Solomon, the third man king and last man king of Israel, had just completed the Feast of Dedication for 7 days and the Feast of Tabernacles for another 7 days, making altogether 14 days of feasting at this time. The temple had taken 20 years to build from start to finish. It was at this time that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time and assured him that, number one, he had heard his prayer. Number two, he had hallowed the temple. Number three, his eyes and heart would be there continually. Number four, he later renewed the Davidic covenant with him like he renewed the Abrahamic covenant with Isaac and Jacob. And five, he said that if the Israelites would turn away and forsake his statutes and commandments, then he would pluck them up by the roots out of his land which he had given them. The Lord God had been dethroned as king over his people Israel, Who these people are today is one of the most important questions that must be answered correctly. Were the people that the Lord was king over above all the other kingdoms and nations? Is that a yes or is that a no? As king, did he plan strategies to fight against their enemies? Israel only lost battles if they were disobedient to his commands. When Israel served other god and gods and began the murder of their own children, gave the approval of sodomites and the tolerance of same-sex marriages, approval of the equality of women instead of granting her the godly role that was given her, the granting of civil rights to all the other races, etc., were they keeping the laws of their own god, or were they keeping the laws that were an abomination to their own god? Wait a minute. Isn't that what Justice Ginsburg is known for advocating? Since these were not the laws of our king, they must be the laws of another god. The god of the Canaanites, for example. The seven nations of the Canaanites had their own law. They had another god. The Lord God of Israel was not their king nor god. The modern day Jew has their own law, the Talmudic law. It is different from the law system that the law God gave to his people Israel. At the conference, I was given a pamphlet that was sent from a reader of the New Covenant Messenger to another reader of the New Covenant Messenger. The reader to whom it was sent gave it to me. The article said, quote, "One of the greatest needs in the remote areas where many of the lost tribes of Israel now live in access to pure, safe drinking water," unquote. This is supposed to be a picture of the lost tribes of Israel? The tribes are black. Here is the picture that they sent of them. Black, 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 black. The lost tribes of Israel. What astounded me was, this pamphlet was endorsed by Jack Hayford of the King's University. Anybody hear of Jack Hayford? How about Dr. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family? I bet you heard of him. Jay Sekulow, a Jew who is at the American Center for Law and Justice, and Gordon Robertson, CEO of the Christian Broadcasting Network. The organization that sponsored the pamphlet was Jewish Voice Ministries International. I'll tell you a little bit about this organization. This organization was founded by Lewis Kaplan over 50 years ago. Now, who was Lewis Kaplan? As a Jew who grew up in New York City, Kaplan wondered how he could embrace a Gentile religion. He went up to a revival meeting that was in town in South Carolina where Kaplan made himself known. He asked the minister privately if a Jew could be saved. The minister replied, quote, "Salvation is of the Jews. And Peter and Paul and the prophets were all Jews," unquote. Exactly what the book that the minister gave to me when the Presbyterian minister was going to marry us. He asked what Randis had given on us. I gave an honest answer and he would marry us. He was astonished at that time to know that Christianity sprang from Judaism, and that the first Christians were Jews. Is this true? Is salvation of the Jews? Could a Jew be saved? Is there a Jew in the Bible that was saved? Was Peter and Paul and all the prophets and disciples Jews? Did Christianity spring from Judaism and that all the first Christians were Jews? These are important questions. A. Did Christianity spring from the Jews' religion, Judaism, and all the first Christians were Jews, including Jesus the Christ? Or B. Was Christianity separate from the Jews' religion, and the first Christians were not Jews, but were Israelites? Now we'll look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Quote, "For he is our peace, who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby," unquote. Who were the two that were made one? Look how Kaplan interprets these verses. Quote, "From the foregoing scriptures, we see that the church of God would not be the Jewish nation, nor would it be the Gentile nations, but Jews and Gentiles made one in Yahshua, thus establishing a new nation, a holy nation, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Yahshua by the gospel," unquote. I commented on this verse. Notice the Kaplan, who's an Antichrist, using Yahshua instead of Jesus. Refer to Pastor Jester's sermon 2 weeks ago. Also notice the Kaplan in the first sentence above used the two-word phrase, Gentile nations. That is repetitive nonsense, as the word Gentile means nations, though the phrase is nation, nations that he used. The two made one in Kaplan's mind was the Jews and the Gentiles. That would be the entire world in Kaplan's mind. Kaplan keeps a secret because he didn't know of where the promise comes from. The covenant that the Lord God made with Abraham, confirmed with Isaac and Jacob. This is to whom the unconditional and conditional promises were made. The organization Jewish Voice has as its mission, quote, "to transform life and to see all Israel saved," referring to all the Jews saved. They do this by first providing the seed by providing health care, surgeries, water purifiers, etc., to show people that they care. They go to Africa and they take these dirty ponds and give them clean water. And of course, they ask you for money to help them. They then say that once they see that we care, some will ask about our gospel. Does Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16 teach that, A, the two people who are made one are the Jews and the Gentiles, or the two people who are made one are the house of Judah and the house of Israel? Look at what the four people say in their written testimonies about this organization. Now, these testimonies of these four men were written on the pamphlet. Quote, "Jonathan Burness, who's the head of Jewish Voice, who took over after Kaplan died, and Jewish Voice are as penetrating as evangelism gets anywhere. That this penetration is taking place so effectively among God's ancient people, the Jews, makes it all the more deserving of our support. since there are so few with such an effective cutting edge. This is a ministry of integrity and wisdom in communicating in one of the most delicate and demanding arenas, penetrating the understanding of God's ancient people with the great love he offers them through our Savior, unquote. I had to make a comment about that statement. Who was it in the opening verses that prevented the Israelites from entering in their land? Was Israel pleased as to what Edom had done to them? Do you think the king of Israel was pleased with Edom's actions? So Kaplan is saying that even though Edom hated Israel, that God would choose the Edomites to be the first Christians. Makes no sense. Now we go to Dr. James Dobson, founder of the Focus on the Family. I'll quote him from the pamphlet. Quote, "Your strong commitment of support, love, and understanding for Israel and the Jewish people clearly reflects God's heart, plans, and purpose not only for Israel, but for the entire world," unquote. Where did Dr. Dobson get his doctorate? Dobson makes a grave mistake in his statement. He makes both Israel and the Jewish people as being synonymous. But they're not synonymous. They are two very different people with two different fathers. The plans that our Lord God have for both nations are totally different. The third person, Jay Sekulow, from the American Center for Law and Justice. Quote, he says, As a Jewish Christian, I appreciate the impact you are having both here in the United States and internationally. As you proclaim the message of hope found in Yahshua and do it so effectively, unquote. How can anyone be a Jewish Christian? It is an oxymoron. It is like being an Antichrist Christian. It's the same as a Judeo-Christian. The two are everlasting enemies of each other. Notice he also uses Yahshua. Sekulow was saved, over 40 years ago at a Jews for Jesus concert. Jews for Jesus was started by another Antichrist Jew in 1973, and Sekulow states that a minority of the Jewish people have always believed and proclaimed the gospel. He's a liar. They're liars. They have. The Bible teaches that they plotted the murder of our Savior and hated everything that he did. I believe the Bible, not Sekulow. The fourth person, Gordon Robertson, CEO of Christian Broadcasting Network, says, quote, "Lewis Kaplan, over 50 years ago, founded Jewish Voice. What a pioneering work. And Jonathan has come along to fill those difficult shoes. And he's using Spirit of God to take the ministry to new heights. Let's all get behind Jewish Voice," unquote. That's the head of Christian Broadcasting. I had the comment, no thanks. I'll be supporting the Church of Jesus the Christ that was started a lot longer ago than the Jewish Voice. And it couldn't be the Spirit of the God of the Bible that Jonathan is using. It must be the spirit of another God, probably Baal. No Christian should support Jewish Voice. This is what happens. We let other people who have other gods into our nation. Now my conclusion. I've said all this to say this. And my conclusion you may not agree with. The Democrats are full of the enemy's seed. Here is just a few of them. Chuck Schumer, Jerry Nadler, Rahm Emanuel, Adam Schiff, Debbie Wasserschultz, Gabby Giffords, Anthony Weiner, Bernie Sanders, Barbara Boxer, Barney Frank, Ed Bavinsky, Dianne Feinstein, Joe Lieberman, and no. How about the Republicans? Jared Kushner, Ivan Trump, Mark Levin, Henry Kissinger, Michael Chernoff, Michael Savage, Lee Zeldin, Arnie Fleischer, David Horowitz, Dennis Prager, Ben Shapiro, Al Michaels, Adam Sandler, Gerardo Rivera, Ben Bernanke, Alan Greensburg, Stephen Munchen, and the Communications Corner for Donald J. Trump, President, Chairman, Security Board, Donald Trump's largest lender, and a host of other people, including Donald Trump's largest second lender. Look at all those people. I'm not going to read all that. That's all Republican Party. Now let's go down and get into the list. Oh, that's enough. The too many. Just show you who supports both parties. Now this is the part that few will believe. Maybe a few are even here. For the power of disillusionment is so extreme. First of all, is the borrower the slave of the lender? Even Trump said that. I don't borrow from Wall Street. You borrow from Wall Street, you got to make a deal. Is President Trump the anti-establishment, anti-media president? The reason the press is against Donald Trump is because that is the Zionist script that has been written. This sharp contradiction is how you can see through this elaborate charade and deception of Trump, the so-called anti-establishment figure. When Trump calls out CNN or other media outlets, it is a ruse and nothing more than Zionist scripted entertainment and distraction for a dumbed-down, ignorant populace. The bottom line is that you cannot be anti-establishment and anti-globalist and at the same time be pro-Zionist and pro-Israelite. Let me say that last sentence another way. How can you be against the press and media and be for America first and at the same time be for the nation of Israelite and be against the people of the God of the Bible? And until the media is taken out of the hands of the Zionists, nothing will ever change. It is a Zionist country. And they are the Christians' enemy. Oh, President Trump visits the Western Wall on May 20, 2017 in Jerusalem.
Got a skull cap on.
Oh, yes. To conclude, I was given a poem at the conference by Missions Outreach. It's called Everything's Under Control. So I'll finish with this poem. Everything's Under Control. Control, control, everything's under control. Farmers are losing their farms, you know. Is this not part of the manifesto? We used to have the 10 Bill of Rights. Now we have the 10 planks. Who do we have to thank for this but the international banks? We borrow loans that we can't repay because we've given to usury through FHA. We bought luxuries we really don't need. Now families are desperate. We've sown bad seed. Control, control, everything's under control. We send our children to public schools where they're taught humanism, becoming as fools. They teach them to love all of their brothers, but have them hating their fathers and mothers. Mom and Dad dare not take a stand for fear of losing their houses and land. And Grandpa and Grandma dare not take a stand for fear of losing their retirement plan. Control, control, everything's under control. Caesar says Christians need not ask from God for their interest the state knows best. But wait until they take away our Bibles. We'll then be too weak to protest. We've all become as living robots and are being stripped of our rights. We become as weak as pansies afraid to stand up and fight. Control, control, everything's under control. Is this because we have forsaken our God, going our own ways, disobeying his laws? We are living in idolatry when we turn from our God. Beware, we will pay when judgment falls. O people, repent and turn from your ways, for God seeks to heal your land. He'll no longer make us robots, but strong, valiant men. Then God will be in control, control. God will be in control. Beware, we pay when judgment fails. It's time to repent and seek God's laws, then everything will be under control. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. My next one is that neither party has anything good to say about, I guess you'll have to come here.